That would be the perfect time to go to a concert. And we're going to talk about a concert on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock at Westminster Congregational Church, which is 4th and Washington, and it's the Spokane Symphony Chorale. Before we go to the chorale director, Christina Ploger, Brent Wilcox, you have two dogs in this fight, as we might say, because you have a lovely double engagement here. First, let's talk about the Spokane Symphony Associates that you're involved with. Briefly describe that group, and you have a lot of involvement there.
The SSA is one of the primary sources of external funding for the symphony. You know, tickets won't keep the doors open. Mm-hmm. So the Symphony Associates about every year give the symphony $250,000.
Wow.
And a little portion of that is what we do in the chorale in our spring concert. And we've been doing a spring concert now as a benefit to the symphony for about 5 years. Mm-hmm. We really enjoy it. We don't like singing without the orchestra, but the season's over essentially for the orchestra, and this is just us on our own. And we're so fortunate to have Christina as our director, because she's put together a terrific program. But this year I happen to be the president of the chorale organization, and I'm also the chair of the cantabile section of the Spokane Symphony Associates. So I must be a glutton for punishment, I guess. It's going to come together. It's this Sunday. It should be a terrific concert.
Well, Christina, let's bring you in here. First, good morning.
Good morning.
And talk about what I think is the obvious thing, the choir identity by doing your own concert. Isn't that really important that the choir doesn't feel peripheral, but is the concert, is the focus?
Well, definitely. I mean, we exist to do things in collaboration with the symphony. So, of course, that's always our main mission. But it's really fun for us to get to do something where it's all about choral singing. So, you hit it on the nail. It's nice to have something where the entire identity is us.
Yeah, and that will be this Sunday at 4 o'clock at Westminster Church. And so let's jump right into the program, because what's the overview of how you're approaching this program?
Well, it is called The Soul of America, which we titled before the book came out. but it's called The Soul of America, and it essentially deals with American choral music in four main chunks of thought. And the first one is early American music. And so we are doing some pieces by William Billings, who arguably is the first American choral composer. And actually, it's kind of fun because I was looking up things about him, and there's interesting stuff. So anyway, but that's the first bit is early American music, which leads really well into spirituals. Then contemporary choral literature, and then things that are adapted from other genres or kind of taken from either film or musical theater or pop, those kinds of things.
And the music of our civilization right now.
Right. Yeah.
Well, let's circle back around to early American music and say one funny, one interesting fact about William Billings before we hear something. You said that there's things about him.
Actually, I have a funny short quote, which I find. One of his contemporaries wrote, he was a singular man of moderate size, short of one leg, with one eye, without any address, and with uncommon negligence of person. Still, he spake and sung and thought as a man above the common abilities. I think that kind of tells you he was, it was the beginning of America, and so we were struggling for a musical identity, and it was right before a lot of those like Handel societies and things popped up, and so where a lot of things in Europe, which were choral things, were based around churches, when we came over, a lot of our churches didn't have instruments, and some purposefully, and some that mm-hmm. I think they just didn't have money for instruments. Mm-hmm. So really, singing in America at that point was about teaching people how to sing in church.
Sure.
And so it was a lot more angular and about teaching people how to read music. Mm-hmm.
Let's get an example of his music. You're doing his right. his Rose of Sharon?
Yes. Yes. Should I just pop into that? Okay.
William Billings' hymn, The Rose of Sharon, there, one of the pieces which represents one of the four aspects of this concert happening on Sunday afternoon of the Spokane Symphony Chorale, the early American music. And then, Christina, as you said, it migrates beautifully into spirituals.
Yeah, well, and spirituals are such an important part of American music, and it's interesting because it's really... Everything comes down to money, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It's really a fluke of money that that happened because Fisk University had a group called the Jubilee Singers, which got named after they became a public entity. Essentially, Fisk University was a black traditionally black university, and they ran out of money, and they were going to be defunct. And they had a group of people that sang their they called them their secret songs. It was songs their parents and grandparents, and many were former slaves. There were only, I think, four or five that weren't former slaves that were in the original Jubilee Singers. And they went, we got to figure out how to make money, and this is all we have that can make some money. So they sent them around, and they made a tiny bit of money. But when they performed at Oberlin University, then basically all the music professors and everybody there were freaking out about them. And these guys are amazing. And then they got them some gigs in New York and they made money. And then they just sent them everywhere, and they were spreading spirituals, spreading all of those songs in a choral sense. And because they were, once again, you know, struggling to find identity and struggling to be taken seriously and all of that, they did it with a very operatic kind of sound, which then you hear later. So essentially it's like American art song. It's former slaves singing in a trained way. And you can look even in the Queen of England's diary at the time. They sent them over there. And so there's an entry about the Fisk University Jubilee Singers. And she was so stunned with their precision and the beauty and... So that was the beginning of all of that for us in America.
Christina Ploger, the director of the conductor of the Spokane Symphony Chorale, what decisions do you have to make on style to in 2018 to do this? Which approach?
It's a wonderful question, because you have to decide whether something is more a spiritual or more gospel related. And that's how you make the decisions. If it's a spiritual, you're going to stay with, like, even though they sang in a trained style, they maintained things like saying duh instead of the and things like that. I purposefully avoided all the spirituals that had that kind of vernacular in them, because I feel like it's not genuine to the people that sing in the chorale. So I was very careful about picking things. I mean, really, the reason that happened is because the languages that from the countries where the slaves came from didn't have any fricatives. So they didn't have th for the. They didn't have those sounds, which is why they would change the sound to like the man or something like that, because they didn't have that palette in their phonemes. But and so that's why you stay that way if it's a spiritual. Gospel tends to be a little later chronologically, and so you choose the vernacular that the people would have spoken at the time.
Well, give us an example of a spiritual that you're going to be using.
Great. We are going to be doing Hark, I Hear the Harps Eternal, which has some background in the Appalachian area. So it's a meld of a lot of different things that helped spirituals progress. But really what's great about it is it was part of the Alice Parker, Robert Shaw book. And so that really spread spirituals widely. Here we go.
Alice Parker, Hark, I Hear the Harps Eternal. Stephen Paulus.
Hold on a second. Are we off there? It's just further on in that track. Here we go.
Hallelujah.
Okay, that spiritual, which we were just hearing, which is the second of the genres that are going to be on Sunday's program by the Spokane Symphony Chorale. And then the third one is the stuff of you choral directors and of choruses and everything, that right now choral singing is such a living art, isn't it? And so well off in our society, don't you think?
It really is. And there's, I mean, the amount of literature that's being written, contemporary choral literature, and the amount of styles encompassed in that literature is truly amazing. And I think part of what's helping that is that publishing is so different.
Mm-hmm.
And so with anybody being able to self-publish, you can find just such a variety of things. But there are definite stalwarts in the contemporary choral literature area, and one of those is Morten Lauritzen.
Our homeboy.
Yeah, we like to claim him. I mean, he lives in the San Juan Islands, and he taught for many, many years. He taught composition at USC, which there's funny stories about that because I had friends that went to go study with him. But in truth, he's in the San Juan Islands almost all the time. So.
But he was born in Colfax.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, no,
thank
absolutely.
You for,
I think about it every time I drive through Colfax.
Really? Yeah. Okay, that gives me something else lovely to think about there. Yeah, he... Yeah, so it's kind of funny because, you know, I had friends that said, I went to California to study with him, but he was never in California. Yeah. He was in Washington.
Sure. So he has two or three hit tunes, like at least one that has to be on everybody's Christmas concert and a few things like that. But you found another one. Talk about his setting of Sure on This Shiny Night.
Well, I love the James, I'm going to say it wrong, and people are going to know, A.G., thank you, the James A.G. poem, Sure on This Shining Night, and he was actually inspired by the piece that's going to be right next to it, preceding it, which was The Promise of Living,
From the
Tenderland, Aaron Copland.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So basically, it's all of those kinds of pieces written about the Depression era. And Sure on This Shining Night is a text from that. And so I think every composer, I'm obviously that's hyperbole, but a lot of composers have set that Sure on This Shining Night text. And the one that most people sing is The Barber, which is beautiful, just lovely. But I love the Morten Lauritzen Sure on This Shining Night. I think it addresses the text in such a soft, beautiful way.
Yeah, it does.
And you can really just hear the water. It's like being in the San Juans and seeing that shimmer.
Nice. So. Well, can you give us a sneak preview?
Definitely.
Pre-hear.
Mm-hmm.
Must wash for me.
Martin Lauridsen's setting of Sure on This Shining Night, the James Agee poem. The fourth of the parts of this American Music Concert on Sunday with the Spokane Symphony Chorale, we're still kind of clutching around for the actual description, but it's things from our world around
soul
us, from
of
film
America.
Culture, yeah, the soul of America, and the idea of things from the stage and film and the music we hear around us. And so talk a little bit more about some of the examples of that you're going to have.
Right. So there are some birthdays involved here. Bernstein, mm-hmm. however mm-hmm. you like to say it.
He used both in his lifetime. It's okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay. That makes me feel so much better.
He was Bernstein and changed it to Stein.
Awesome. Okay, because I'm so like Bernstein. What are
right.
we gonna
yeah.
do there? Yeah. So this is the year, or we're in the year of the 100th anniversary of his birth, and so lots of people are doing a lot of that. So we're gonna have a couple of those on there. So we'll have "Make Our Garden Grow," which I think we're gonna play, and "Somewhere" from West Side Story. So that we've got a little Sondheim involved there, so things from the stage. And then we're going to have an arrangement of "Purple Rain" by Prince. His birthday was yesterday. And that's actually a student arrangement from Eastern, and just yeah. things like that. So things that come from the pop genre, things that come from the stage, things that come from film, that kind of thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to Brent Wilcox. Talk about the joy of singing in the chorale.
Well, I think for me, I've been in choirs since I was 8 or 9. I was a soprano in Mrs. Rook's fifth grade class at Adams Elementary over in Seattle. And I enjoy being in a group because you get to do things that you can't possibly do by yourself. And that's one of the kicks with being in the symphony chorale is to be able to sing with a superlative orchestra like we have. Mm-hmm. I think so many people in Spokane don't realize the quality of the musicianship that we have here in town. And so when we get to do a big choral piece with them, it's just a real kick in the pants. And I enjoy it very much. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Mm. Yeah, it's really a wonderful experience.
Maybe when I get warbly, yeah. Christina will ask me to just fade away into the corner.
There you go.
Yeah.
No. Brent Wilcox, who is involved both with the Spokane Symphony Associates, which is putting on this concert, and then he'll be singing in it as a member of the Spokane Symphony Chorale. 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon at Westminster Congregational Church, which is 4th and Washington. And is there the Spokane Symphony Associates has their own website, don't they?
We do. It's SpokaneSymphonyAssociates.org.
Okay, so
is what it is.
One could go there for more details on that. So thank you to both of you, and let's go out with a little bit of Bernstein.
Thank you, Vern.
Thank you.
That also will be on this concert, and Christina, you said you're gonna even broaden it a little farther, on your guest artists on Make Our Garden Grow.
Oh yes, definitely. So Carol and Jess is going to be playing this concert for us, and
on the piano.
Yes, on the piano. And luckily, she married well, so she married the principal trumpet for Spokane Symphony. Mm-hmm. So Larry Jess is going to come and play on that, and on The Promise of Living, the Copeland. I think those are the two things he's playing with us as well. So we're going to have some symphony involvement, but mostly because Carolyn married well.
Yeah, the Soul of America is the name of this concert. It's Sunday at 4 o'clock at Westminster Congregational Church. Thanks a lot to both of you, to Christina and to Brent.
Our pleasure.
Thank you,
Vern. Thank you.